Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The book of Philippians was written by Paul while he was incarcerated under house arrest in Rome for 2 years. And he wrote what is called the prison epistles or prison letters, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Each of these letters have a theme to it. Ephesians, the theme of Ephesians is our position in Christ. The theme of Philippians is our participation, our fellowship in Christ. And he is presenting for us in the first chapter his own personal experience, his own personal philosophy, his own perspective from the Spirit of God, how he views life and how he lives life. We've studied his prayer for them. We've studied his petition for them. Now we're in verses 12 through 30, Paul's philosophy of life. We saw in verses 12 to 14 the function of fellowship. That even though he is under Roman guard, he says this all has happened for the furtherance and advancement of the gospel. And their participation with him in grace and in prayer is fellowship functioning together as one together. We saw in verses 15 through 21 the opposition in fellowship. And we all experience that, or have, or will, even to the point that sometimes we drop out of fellowship or even drop out of church because of the difficulty sometimes in getting along with others or dealing with others, or people rub us wrong. But Paul saw himself in prison in Rome. And he said that inspired the majority of the brothers to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a good thing. But he says there's two different kinds of groups, and he's talking about believers, not false teachers. Some people are preaching Christ, but it's with the motive of envy and strife. They want to divide the body of Christ. They wanted to separate people from Paul and get them to follow them while Paul was in prison. But then there are others who preach Christ with a motive of love, knowing that Paul has been set for the defense of the gospel. So you have two groups preaching the same gospel but different motives. And Paul says, for all of this, as far as I am concerned, Paul's responsibility to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace is to not take it personal, the things that are being said against him and about him that are being done and said maliciously. He says that Christ is being preached, and in that I rejoice and will rejoice. Whatever they say about me, sure it hurts, sure it stings, but I'm not going to respond in kind, because that's exactly what helps divide the body of Christ. And he shared with us his philosophy that he wanted one thing in life, for Christ to be magnified in his body, verse 20, whether it be through life or through death. And then his concept of life, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So Paul says, for me to live is Christ. So how can personal attacks against me cause me to respond personally? if for me to live is Christ, then what you do to me doesn't matter. All that matters is Christ. He'll take care of it. I serve him. He's the one I follow. He's the one I live for. And he says, but death is gain. Even if I'm in prison and they put me to death, death is the threshold through which we pass into eternity with Christ. So why is that a problem? So Paul's purpose for living, that whether it's in life or in death, Christ would be magnified in his body. That's what we just talked about the first hour. The Lord brings difficult situations to our lives so that we would experience him as the sustainer of our life, but also that he might magnify himself or reveal himself through me in the circumstances. That doesn't mean my human performance is going to be strong and vibrant. People might have to see me in a weakened condition in order to see Christ, who is my strength and power in me. A tremendous worldview by Paul. For me to live as Christ. What happens if you lose your home? What happens if you lose your cars? What happens if you don't have work? The answer is, for me to live is Christ. Not for the home, not for the car, not even for the work. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. But whichever, whether it's life or death, that Christ might be magnified in my body. In verses 22 to 26, the motivation for fellowship that we saw last week. He says, I am in a dilemma. Not that he has to make a choice, but he says, I constantly live with this life and death situation. He says, on the one hand, I don't mind dying and go to be with the Lord. I get in those situations too. Sometimes things get so difficult, it's like, Lord, why not now? You know? But that's an escape. So for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So if I die and go be with the Lord, that's better than going through the struggles here. But on the other hand, to stay here, he says, is more necessary for you. So the purpose and the motivation for me living yet another day should be for the progress of the faith, not only in my life, but in the lives of others, and others might experience his joy from it. Verse 26, we left off last week, in order that your boasting might increase in Christ Jesus in me through my coming to you. So you might boast in Christ as he does a great work in your life, in me, Paul says. He points out himself as the vessel through which Christ is working, through my coming to you again. You know, some believers, they say, well, we're coming to visit. Sometimes you go, oh, no. And other people you look forward to because you grow in the faith. You learn to trust the Lord more. You see Christ in their lives and you learn more of him. And the fellowship is blessed. That's the way Paul was. He says, if I have another day to live, then I'm supposed to come to see you. And if I come to see you, then it'll be so that you can boast in Jesus Christ, in me, through my coming to you again. Verse 27 for today. Our position in fellowship. This is something that's in the news this week. This is something we all wrestle with. It says, only let your conduct be worthily of the gospel of Christ. The word worthily, axios in Greek, is a word for the balance scales down in the marketplace. And the price on a certain item was based on weight. You put the item on one side, you put money on the other until it evens out, and that's how much that particular item costs. Well, he says, your life ought to balance out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But there's a word here in verse 27. Only let your conduct, King James says conversation. It is the Greek word politeuo. We would get a word politics from. And in Greek, it has to do with citizenship. So if I were to be even more literal, it would be only let your citizenship functions, activities, be worthily of the gospel of Christ. If we were in a foreign country, we would be encouraged that our conduct ought to be in representative and representation of our citizenship as citizens of the United States. That our conduct would reflect upon the country from which we come. Sometimes that's a good outcome, sometimes it's not. But we must understand this word is used for the believers not to become this, but this is who we are. Only let your citizenship be worthily of the gospel of Christ. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. We'll get there in a couple of weeks, couple of months, maybe a couple of years. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship's in heaven. It's not down here. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2 of Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not things upon the earth. The word affection is phronel, the frame of mind. Set your frame of mind on the things above, not things upon the earth. That's our citizenship. We are born into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. His Spirit comes and abides within. We are now His children, and we are now citizens of His kingdom. Now, how does that have to do with the things happening this week? There is a false notion. There is a false notion that we are citizens of earth. We are physically. We have been born in a certain country. We have citizenship in a certain country. But once we receive Christ, we are citizens of heaven, and our conduct should be worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which the kingdom of heaven preaches. We can, and many believe they are convicted to be able to go out, and they call it protesting, or they can call it voicing their opinion or representing a certain point you have on certain issues. Nothing wrong with that. But when we take up protest and get violent and even get angry, how can we expect any different action from people who don't know Christ? We can't make them follow the things of Scripture. There has always been an expression of protest against abortion. Hundreds, thousands of babies killed every month in America. Christians went out and protested. Some took it to the point that they would kill the doctors or bomb the clinics in which they happen in. Then someone came up with the bright idea of that we're not representing our message about life. Somebody stepped forward and said, well, all these babies that you don't want killed, you want to take care of them? No. We just want to protest. Don't kill that baby. Well, let her have the baby, and somebody will adopt it. How about you, protester? And the protester, no, I don't need to do with kids. We just want to protest. This week, it's all about protests. The justice system is corrupt, they say. It's not my justice system. I live in a country that has that justice system, but my citizenship is in heaven. When things down here get so bad for me to the point that it bothers me, I have a problem. Because I'm not a citizen here. I'm a citizen of heaven. I bring its message. I represent its message. I represent what God's word has to say about that particular activity. But I can't go out and insist that people follow what God's word says, especially when they don't belong to Him. We can keep bringing the message, but we have to remember that we are citizens of heaven, living in a foreign land as a pilgrim. And we're passing through and we're heading home. So my conduct is to be as a citizen of heaven, and my conduct should be worthily balanced, equal to, and representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a command, by the way. In order that, so that's the purpose, that whether having come and having seen you or being absent, I will hear the things concerning you. And he says, here's what I want to hear. Here's what it means to be a citizen worthily of the gospel of Christ. That you be standing firm. Standing firm. I like the phrase, detach it from all the other noise that goes with it. I like the phrase, stand your ground. I know what everybody's saying about it, but I heard that phrase and I'm like, oh, that's good. No. I don't want to get into that. Stand your ground. Stand your ground as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. There's a time to stand your ground. He says, be continually standing firm. Here's how it is to be. In one spirit. Notice the word spirit is not capitalized. In one spirit of man. Same motive, same attitude. In one spirit. Even spiritually speaking, can we honestly say that all Christians share together in interaction with one another in one spirit? According to our approach to Christianity, there are many. In one spirit, as if the group was one person whose spirit is attached to as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. While in one mind, that's the word psuche, psyche, while in one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. So as one person, a person is made up of body, soul, and spirit. Soul being psuche, the psyche. We should be functioning together as one person with their psyche and with their spirit, even though we're individuals. Should be of the same mind and of the same spirit. Striving together, very interesting term for the word strive. It means with and the word athleo, athletic. So you get the picture that like a coach would bring a message to the team. And this was a message given several times during the baseball season at Valley Christian last year, and I thought it was very applicable and apropos, is that you are individuals, and each one of you have your own positions that you play. But if you don't play together as a team, you'll work against each other. There came at one point where when VCA was up to bat, one guy would be up to bat, there'd be three or four guys hanging on the fence, and, hey, come on, Al, come on, Bob, let's go there. There'd be three or four guys sitting on the bench spitting seeds everywhere, and a couple more guys down at the end talking about what happened this morning. Everybody's fragmented. Everybody's distracted. And so between innings, I got everybody together and I said, hey, when one person's up to bat, the whole team is up to bat. And from that time forward, every one of them were hanging on that fence, calling encouragement to the guy up to the plate. And I told them that even though other people, all nine players, are out in their defensive positions, and there's four or five of you sitting on the bench that aren't playing, you're still part of the team. You need to encourage those people out on the field. That is your job. So that the whole team is playing. And the whole team becomes one. That's why Satan attacks the body of Christ, Christians, psychologically and spiritually. Over, could be political issues, could be theological issues. We're not talking about essential doctrines, we're just talking about things that I would happen to personally believe. And by the way, as I've shared with you before, the word heresy means false doctrine. A heretic is somebody who teaches false doctrine. When I first heard that word, I thought, heretic, that's not me. Don't have much hair. But it is interesting, heretic and heresy comes from the word hieresis in Greek, and it means to choose. A false teaching is something that I choose to believe is true, even though somebody might prove to me from the Bible it's not. Most, if not all, churches do it. All churches have a code, bylaws, doctrinal statement. And quite a few times that I have been approached in the past, there's quite a few times that I have made the approach in the past to say, well, your doctrinal statement here in number 3 says this, but that's not what that scripture says. Of course, the comeback is always, well, that's what our church believes. And? You don't believe truth into existence. And it has been for many years. That's the difference between the denominations, is personal choice. I don't choose to believe that way. I choose to believe that scripture means something else, so we start our own group and we start our own way. The body of Christ becomes fragmented psychologically. And in spirit, we give ourselves to a persuasion that doesn't come from God. So if we are to conduct ourselves, our position in Christ, in fellowship together, because that's the theme of the book, is to function together as citizens of the kingdom of heaven, properly and worthily representing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Standing with one another as one person, one spirit and one mind. Striving together as a team for the faith of the gospel. It is the faith of the gospel. As we've shared with you before, faith comes from the Greek word that means persuasion. And the Bible teaches that faith is a fruit of God's Spirit, not of man. It's a word that describes the presence and the ministry of God's Spirit in someone's life. When God ministers to us by His Spirit, He is persuading us. Rebellion is when God's Spirit is persuading us and we're telling Him no. I don't believe that. Yeah, it's right there. I can see it, but I don't believe that. Striving together for the faith, continually encouraging each other to trust the conviction and leading of God's Spirit, trusting Him in everything, and not our human resources, and not our plans. It's a fight. It's a fight to keep all the human junk out. And just encourage one another to, hey, you're going through what you're going through, to learn to trust the Lord. That's faith. Oh, but I don't understand. You don't have to understand. That's not faith. You just have to know who He is. If you know Him as the true and living God and creator of the universe, you will not have a problem trusting Him. He's in charge. So it is a struggle for us to maintain the message of the faith of the gospel. It is unseen. It is not felt. It is by conviction. It's the basis of our relationship with Christ. So he says, the only thing that when I show up, and whether I do show up or maybe I won't make it, but this is what I want to hear about you. That you are conducting yourselves as citizens of heaven, setting your affection on the things above, not things on the earth. And that you're functioning as one person, psychologically and spiritually, while striving together for the faith of the gospel. From there, if for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, then for me to live is to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God. And in that, I have a responsibility to keep the unity of the Spirit in the body of Christ in the bond of peace. No matter what people say or do to me, we are united in Christ. We don't have to make the unity. We have the unity in Christ. It's all the human stuff that causes the problems. Next week, we'll finish out this chapter, Lord willing, with the final part of the chapter, the persecution and fellowship. I think all of us can attest to that. We've had people attack us personally, rub us the wrong way, whatever you want to call it. Sometimes it is very difficult to fellowship. But persecution is part of fellowship. And we'll learn about that next week. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that by sending your Spirit to live within us as we've received Christ, that we become born into the family of God. And when that happens, we become citizens of God's kingdom, which is above, not on the earth. We know that only by your Spirit and in your Spirit and through your Spirit can we conduct ourselves properly in representation of the gospel of Christ. We know that with all of the human elements, it takes your Spirit to cause us to strive together to be of one mind and one spirit, to be striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not deter or detour from it. We can't do it in human performance, but we depend upon your Spirit. But we always have human reaction and human opinion that we go by, which brings division and fraction within the body of Christ. We pray by your Spirit you would humble us to cause us to be the servant of all, that we might deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Jesus Christ, that we might be responsible in our conduct to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, no matter what is said and what is done to us. We pray that you teach us what our position is. We are citizens of the kingdom of God and of his gospel. We pray that you'd work in us to make us worthy of that calling and worthy in representing your truth and your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.